This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Hi, how you doing, folks? This is the Gospel of Kinnison. My name is James. Welcome to my audio journal. Today, I want to talk about my wife. We have been married for 29 years. In June, we will celebrate 30 years. When we got married, Jen was 19, almost 20, and I was just 23 or 22. I don't remember, but we got married in 1996, and I met her at a McDonald's on St. Simon's Island 4 years prior to our marriage, and I love this woman dearly. The reason we got together as a couple and stayed together, and the reason I knew that she was the right one was because when we got together, it was the first time that I had a girlfriend that made me want to be a better person. Our relationship has always pushed us forward and made us better than we were individually. And I just want to put that out there as a good sign of whether you're in a good relationship. Does it make you a better person? Because so many people are in relationships that they fight all the time, or they struggle, or they're not happy, or what have you. And before you get married, before you make that commitment, you can check yourself and say, am I a person that is becoming enriched by this relationship? When my wife met me, I was out of work. I was a bum. I was living in a trailer, not paying rent. I was in debt. I couldn't get a bank account or anything. And I was an absolute loser. And she was 16, and she was clueless. We were both, at the time, in bad relationships, really bad relationships. And when we met each other at that McDonald's, I was immediately attracted to her. I don't know that she liked me, but I tracked her down, got her phone number. Maybe in a future episode, I'll go through the story of how we met. I knew right away that I wasn't worthy of her. And as we got together and as we became a couple, we began working on me. We got me out of debt. We got me learning how to spend money properly. We got me a bank account, because I didn't want to bring any of the negativity that I was living in into our relationship. And as we grew and got older, because we dated for 4 years, and as marriage became an eventuality, like, we sat down and talked about it. Is there hope for the future? That's what we call it. Is this a relationship that we see moving to that level? And we decided, yes, it was. And that was a good year in advance. But I said, you know, I definitely am better off than I was, but there's still so much I want to change. I want to learn how to be a good boyfriend before I have to learn to be a good husband. And then later in life, I wanted to be a good husband before I had to learn to be a good father. That's basically how we did things. My wife is so amazing, and I would be amiss if I didn't mention how great she is. She's very disciplined. She's very good with money. She's very practical. She works like a man. And when I say works like a man, I mean, she goes in and she doesn't expect any preferential treatment. She goes in and she lets her work speak for her. She makes a place for herself in a mostly male environment by letting her work speak for her. And that's been since the beginning. When she first got out of school, she was going to these banks in these small towns and doing their taxes. And she would go in there and there'd be some old man and you could just tell he was disapproving. He didn't like having some young upstart in his bank. But by the time she would be done, they were giving her things. She would come home with a bag of potatoes or a bag of onions or a fruit basket, things that these old men would give her because they were so impressed with the work she did. She would win them over, not by demanding to be respected, not by playing the woman card, which, you know, whatever, you can if you want. She would just let her work speak for her and she would gain their respect. And that's why I say she works like a man, because that's typically, traditionally, how men earn respect amongst their peers. I've always loved that about her, because there's your typical girl boss that goes in there and demands respect. But my wife has always earned it. And I think that makes her better. I just do. She's always been a hard worker and she's always been an amazing woman in general. I call her fierce because she's very short. She's a very small lady, but she is very fierce. She takes on tasks like you wouldn't believe. She remembers details that I could never remember. She takes on so much. And when it came time to have children, she had a full-blown career, but she had decided she wanted to be home with the kids. And so she took an 8-year hiatus from her career and raised both our kids till they were in preschool and took her job back. And she has, I don't want to say suffered. She hasn't suffered. Her career took a hit because of that time. And she's doing very well for herself. She works for a very prestigious company. She's doing great. She is well taken care of. She makes good money, blah, blah, blah. But she's not where she would have been if she had 8 more years under her belt. And she says she regrets nothing. And our kids have grown up great. They're amazing. They've got a lot more of her in them than they do me. And I'm so grateful for that. They're smart. They're both looking at going into accounting. And I don't even have a college degree. So I love Jen, if it's not apparent. We go out twice a week ever since the kids got old enough to be able to stay home alone. We've been going out twice a week and everybody spends their money, right? So everybody spends their money in certain ways. Some people buy motorcycles. Some people put their money into a Winnebago or trips or whatever. We put a little bit of our budget into eating out. And some people would say, well, I eat out too much. Well, maybe we do. We considered it an investment in our relationship. And we're making up for all the dates we couldn't go on when the kids were little. We have been enjoying our time together. It is the highlight of our week, twice a week on Wednesday nights and Saturday nights, going out to different restaurants that we've found and just talking and catching up and building that relationship so that when our kids are gone, our relationship doesn't fall apart. And I don't think we were in danger of that, but it does happen with folks that have stayed together and focused so much on their kids that when their kids are gone, they find that they don't have anything between them. Now, I have always prioritized my relationship with my wife even over my relationship with my kids. And that's because of some vows, I guess, that I made to myself and some things that I heard. And one of those things that I heard and made a vow about is the best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. And so I always loved on her and did for her and tried to do the best that I could in front of them so that my son would learn how important his mother is. And my daughter would learn how a man is supposed to treat a wife. For instance, it's a little thing, but I have always thanked Jen for every meal she's ever made. And typically that's dinner, right? And so my son, every single time, never been told, never been prepped or anything like that, but he thanks his mom for every meal. And not every meal is our favorite. You know, none of them are bad. Don't get me wrong, but not every meal is your favorite thing to eat, but you always be thankful because you didn't have to make it yourself, right? And she has a full-time job and she comes home and cooks for us. And it's so appreciated and so loving and so great. Here's some ways that I helped her, I guess, because she is such a hard worker and because she does have, because she does work so hard, she tends to overwork herself. She tends to also judge herself based on what her workplace thinks of her. I don't know. That's kind of a man thing, really, is, you know, you ask a man who he is and he'll tell you what he does. She tends to get her self-worth wrapped up in what her job thinks of her at any given time. And so if her work isn't appreciated, she's miserable. Thankfully, right now, she's in a job that treats her really well and does appreciate what she does, and she's feeling great. But I'm there to help her balance that against, you know, what's important is your family and what they think of you and the community that you live in and what you're doing for them, because we've always done outreach. We've always helped others. So I help keep her balanced. I also make her laugh. She's always found me funny, even if she groans more than she laughs. Our first date was just me trying to be silly and funny and making her laugh, and she enjoyed it. Other people's like, how do you live with him? And she just rolls her eyes because she pretends like she hates it, but she loves it. She loves it a lot. But I also am her ear. I listen to her and I keep her sane. That's what I tell her children, my children, is one of my biggest jobs is I help your mom stay sane because she deals with stuff at work. She deals with a lot of stress. She gets easily stressed out about things, like even vacations. Part of her getting ready for vacation is stressing about every part of it. And I help talk her through it, not by talking, but by listening. And she has made me a better listener. That's how she's improved me. But I have helped her by being that ear. Instead of trying to offer advice, I've learned that all she needs, she's very smart. She's very smart, very, very smart. She's valedictorian in high school. She's very smart. She doesn't need my opinions. She needs me to listen. When she talks it out, she always gets to where she needs to be. And sometimes that's where I would have told her. Most of the time, it's a better place than what I would have told her. And that's because she's smart and she's bright and she needs to just work it out vocally. She needs to get it. I don't know. Typically dudes, I call it going in their cave. When we have to deal with stuff, we kind of get quiet and we go inside our cave and we mull it over and think about it. But my wife is different in that she wants to get it out. She needs to talk about it. And in the past, she couldn't talk about it because all I would do is offer suggestions and advice and she would get so frustrated. And then when I had things I needed to talk, she wanted to talk about them and I wanted to go in my cave. And we've learned that when I need to talk, I will. So she doesn't need to try to help me out in that way. But when she needs to talk, I need to be there to listen and shut the freak up and let her get through it. I've mentioned she's helped me financially. I have learned about how much fun it is to not spend money, to have it in a bank account, the security that that offers, the responsibility and the feeling of accomplishment that it gives, where prior to that, I spent money like I was still poor. Here's the thing about not having money, and I was there. I didn't have money. I was poor. Is that when you get money, you spend it so you don't feel poor. You go to movies, you go out to eat, You'll buy things that you can't really afford. You'll get yourself in debt. You'll put things in layaway. Oh man, I remember layaway. And you feel better in the moment, but then you won't pay bills. You know why? Because paying bills does not make you feel unpoor. It makes you feel poor. That's not important. You go for the feels. You want to get the max amount of dopamine out of every dollar, and buying a new TV does that for you.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
So paying bills was not on my radar. And that's why I got an accident one time and I got a big payout, and it would have covered all of my hospital bills. Plus I would have had some left over, but I spent all of it and I got in debt. And I'm glad, because ultimately it ruined my credit. I couldn't get a credit card, thank God. I got in a certain amount of debt, but I didn't get thousands of dollars in debt. And Jen helped me get out of that. And she helped me learn the value of a dollar. I've been inspired by her work ethic. She's made me a better human. She helped me to get more serious about church. We actually did that for each other because we both had church backgrounds, but we were so burnt out on the concept of church. But we connected at a church that had a lot of young adults that were recently married, and they were good examples to us, both in the positive sides of their relationship and the negative side, because they were almost all of them in debt up to their eyeballs. And we decided right away that we were never going to go into debt outside of vehicles and our house. And so we got off on a pretty good foot because we held each other accountable to these things. We made these promises before we even got married that we weren't going to bring a bunch of debt into a relationship. So she helped me to hold down jobs. She helped me to think differently about income and finances and debt. And I helped keep her sane and balanced. And now we're celebrating 30 years soon. Our daughter just turned 21 yesterday, our oldest. Our youngest is going to turn 18 in February. He's graduating from high school this year. And we are living all of the benefits of all the promises and vows that we made all those years ago, because we have no debt outside of our house. We are able to send our kids to school debt-free. That is a huge gift to give a kid, is the chance to grow up without school debt and to set them off for life. And hopefully they've learned from us, because when we got married, we didn't have anything but a waterbed we bought at a church yard sale. And waterbeds were a trend, but they were well over by the time we bought that waterbed. And it was the most sloppy, sloshy thing you ever did sleep on. I don't know how those things ever took off. The first thing we did was replace that waterbed, and we bought a futon because we needed a couch. And we would lay that futon down. It was a full-size futon, and we slept on that thing. I mean, side by side. And we slept on that thing and saved up money, and we bought a king-size bed mattress and box springs, and we laid that joker on the floor, and we slept on that and saved and saved and saved, and we bought bedroom furniture, and we spent a lot on it. We saved and we saved. I mean, we slept for years on a mattress, and we bought that furniture. We still use it today. It's still in great shape. I don't even think they make furniture like this anymore, not at that price point, but it's 100% wood. It'll be something we could pass down to our kids and our grandkids. We lived in a house with no living room furniture forever, and we saved up for couches, and we went out and bought couches, and we only just 2 years ago got rid of those couches because they had two children grow up on them. So please don't hear me bragging. What I am is I'm still in my heart that poor kid, and I live in a world I never should have lived in because I was from South Georgia. I had no college education. I couldn't hold down a job. And there's an alternative reality where I never met Jen and I married some girl from town, and I was mean and ornery and not supportive, and we had a bunch of kids, and we live in a trailer park somewhere, and I'm working at the paper mill, and that was probably where I was going to end up if I had continued down the path I was going, living in Georgia for the rest of my life. And nothing wrong with Georgia, but I met Jennifer, and she was this amazing girl that impressed me so much, and I loved her so much that I wanted to be a better person for her. And I see this in young people, this problem where they are holding out for the perfect guy or the perfect girl. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And they're asking God, when am I going to meet the perfect person? Yet they do nothing to be the kind of person that would attract a perfect person. You, and I say perfect, ideal. How about that? The ideal person. Are you a gossip? Are you a liar? Are you in debt? Are you holding down a job? Are you taking care of yourself? These kind of things matter because those are the things you want in your future spouse, in your significant other. Do that, and you will attract those kind of people naturally. Now, what about your relationship? A lot of times I get people wanting my advice, and these men, and they're like, my wife wants so much from me, and I come home and she wants to give the kids to me, and I need to chill. And I tell them, no, you don't. No, you don't. Your wife's happiness is paramount. If your wife is happy, you're happy. If your wife's happy, your kids are happy. And you've been working all day, but so has she. In this case, she was staying home with the kids. I said, you need to give her an hour. When you get home, just pretend you haven't got off work yet and you have one more hour. Give her that time to go lay down, to go watch a show, to chill out, to read a book, whatever, whatever. And then the two of you watch those kids until it's bedtime. And you get your chill time when you put those kids to bed at 6 o'clock. I'm kidding. I don't know when babies go to bed anymore, but we used to put them to bed early. But then you get your chill time, and that chill time is spent together. Unless you're like me and Jen would spend our chill time together, but we would be doing two completely different things, maybe in the same room, maybe in different parts of the house, but we would do it, I don't know, like we had an umbilical cord floating through the ether, connecting ourselves together. We still do that. Our Venn diagrams only overlap in one place, and that's on Sunday nights when we're watching movies together. Because our Venn diagrams, you know what they are, circles, right, that overlap, and those are the things they share in common. We share in common movies and Stranger Things and pizza and everything else. We're just completely separate, but we love doing those separate things in close relation to each other. And that's, I think, mostly because we're both firstborns. We like doing our own things, but we love being close to each other. Anyway, I got off topic. Husbands, take care of your wives primarily, because all the things that I have learned from her, I wish I was doing for her sooner. I wish I was listening instead of giving advice. Because there's times she asks for advice, but most of the time she needs to just talk it through. I wish I had learned that sooner. I'd wish I knew the different ways men and women communicate. Because now she knows that I'm not going to want to talk about things right away. And I know that she needs to talk about them. So I look for the signs of stress. And I'll say, what's going on, babe? And she'll say, I'm stressed. Okay, what about? And I pull it out of her. I don't demand she talks. I open the door. Here's what I'm willing to do. I am willing to listen. And I pull it out of her with questions and interest, genuine interest in her. Why? Because she inspired me to become what she needed me to be. So many times people get it backwards. And I hate to say it, but especially girls, they meet these guys and they're like, I can change them. No, you can't. No, you can't. Especially after you marry them or get engaged to them. When you marry them, men take that as I have 100% been accepted as I am. And same when you move in with them before you marry, you have told them, I am fine with you as you are. Everything that you offer is all that I expect. And those men have gotten everything they need out of the relationship. They have no problems in keeping you on the hook with a ring on your finger. I've seen people together in relationships for 10, 20 years because they don't have to commit and men won't do it. But if you will hold off and make a man get better, he will. Or if he doesn't, then you know that's a sign he's not the right guy, but you're not going to fix him. You need to be a person that is worth having a good man, gentlemen. You need to be a man that is worth having a good woman. If you find yourself wanting to be improved because of who they are as a person, that's true love. True love is 100% giving of self. When you commit 100% of yourself to the happiness of the other person with no expectation of getting anything back, that is true love. Now you say, James, what about what I need? That's the thing. You marry somebody that has that same value system, 100% giving of self. And you don't have to hold back and say, oh, well, I'll do this for them if they do this for me. No, you can give 100% because you know her value is to do the same for you. And that's why I told that guy, go in there, give her time, let her chill, give her what you want. And I guarantee you, if she's worth a crap, she'll make sure to repay the favor and give you what you need. And maybe if she knows you're going to give her an hour, she'll give you 30 minutes when you first get home. She'll take on that extra half hour. Maybe she'll do that for you. But even if she doesn't, you're in a relationship and you're supposed to give 100% of yourself to the other person with no thought of what you get in return. That is the kind of love that keeps a marriage strong. I don't have to worry about being loved, because I worry about loving her. I worry about giving to her. And am I perfect? No. Do I always listen without giving advice? No. But you know what? After all this time, I'm pretty good at it. You know, I said earlier that I was going to be a good boyfriend before I had to learn to become a good husband. And I was going to learn to be a good husband before I had to learn to be a good father. I never did quite get the husband thing down. I did get the father thing down. But now, looking back, dude, I am so much better than I was. Holy crap. I was argumentative. I wasn't grateful about meals. I would complain if it wasn't right. I wouldn't do things around the house for her because I didn't know her love languages. And now I do. It's quality times and acts of service. And whenever I do these things for her, it means the world. I just want to say, I love Jennifer. I love my wife so much. And I am so glad that I have become the man I am because she deserves it. Not because she nagged me into it. Not because she tried to manipulate me or change me. But she was a good person. She was someone that was disciplined and had aspects of her life that I wanted to mimic and imitate. And I think I was the same for her. As bad off as I was, she wanted to be a little bit more chill about things. See, that's the last bit I'll give you, is you can tell you're in a good relationship not because of the things you have in common. Everybody thinks I have to have things in common with somebody. Me and Jen couldn't be more different, but our differences bind us together. And the only way I can explain that mess of a sentence is by giving you an illustration of two puzzle pieces where I lack. She has a part of her personality that fills that slot in, and vice versa. Everywhere she struggles, I have a strength. And when we connect together as one flesh, as one person, and as a marriage is supposed to be, two people coming together as one, we are whole and we are connected, loving and giving to each other. And those differences that we have connects us together. So what are the signs of good relationship? Somebody that makes you want to be a better person, somebody that you want to emulate, somebody that you complement with your strengths, and she complements with your strengths and weaknesses. And stay out of debt. Stay out of debt. Stay out of debt. Put the other person first in everything, and wait. Wait for the right person. Don't throw in with people that immediately give you red flags. Don't get desperate just because you're lonely, because a wedding is wonderful. It's great. It's amazing. But marriages are hard. They're hard under the ideal circumstances. Jen and I have worked so hard on our relationship. We've been through so much together. And that's the only reason why I have anything to brag about or be proud of now, is because of the work that we put in. So anything less than the ideal situation makes a good marriage almost impossible. So date for a while. Some people say a minimum of a year. We dated for 4 years because I was afraid of divorce. I'd come from a family of two divorces. So we dated forever. And then we got married and we waited 8 years to have kids. Why? Because I was still afraid of divorce. I wanted to make sure we were a good, strong couple before we invited kids in. Did we wait too long? Probably. But we have a relationship that we're coming back to now that was built before those kids. We are re-strengthening it through our date nights and stuff like that. So anyway, I would love to get your feedback on this topic. If you're a single person, has it meant anything to you? Have I given you some pointers to think about? If you're a married person, did anything sink in? Is there anything you want to add to this conversation? Please email me, james@nlcast.com, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the GOK. Thanks and God bless.